Good morrow and welcome back to the realm. I am epic fantasy author JV Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into the realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis. And that's no different this week. I have another speculative fiction author on the show with me. And you might have seen him on my previous Realm YouTube show. This is Nathan Ugloff. Nathan, welcome back to the realm. I'll get to you in a few seconds here. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me in my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com, or go ahead and follow me at jvhilliardbooks, Twitter/X, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or just look for me as JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. And want to again thank our longtime sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine. If you haven't seen Altered Reality Magazine and you're a friend and fan of speculative fiction or speculative poetry, go check them out at www.alteredrealitymag.com. There you're going to find a home for science fiction, fantasy, dystopian novels, short stories. You're going to find stuff. I didn't even know there was a thing called dark and horror poetry, but there is. It's a whole category for that. And we've got award-winning authors all the way down to first-time people that are trying to make a name for themselves. It's a real nice community. About 190,000 people visit the site on an annual basis. So go check out alteredrealitymag.com. And as we reach our wishing hour, I am going to welcome our guest back onto the show. Nathan, how you doing today? And tell everybody a little bit about yourself and the kind of stuff you like to write.
I'm doing great. So right now, I'm writing a post-apocalyptic sci-fi series where civilizations make a comeback. And I've been just creating and had a really wild imagination from a very young age. And so I had an idea for a book, rolled with it, and it's out now. You guys can get The Sapien Empire wherever you get your favorite books. And I'm also a Lego fanatic and metalhead.
Cool. Well, let's spend a little time digging into the Sapien Empire. I know we talked about that on the last show, so I don't want to reiterate too much. But for those of you that did not have a chance to see it on YouTube, let's talk a little bit about it. Give them a little bit of a background on the story and maybe a little bit about the blurb so that we can pique their interest a little bit.
The idea is it's a post-apocalyptic series where civilizations make a comeback. So it starts in the Pacific Northwest, where I live, and it's an unspecified time after an event called the All Silence happens in the early 22nd century that just causes civilization to collapse. And so at this point, the area where our main character lives is a patchwork of city-states ruled by brutal warlords. And our protagonist is really gifted in engineering, and so he was employed by one of those warlords to make machines for him, but then he felt guilty about it and tries to redeem himself. And then along the way, he eventually ascends to power, and then he starts to rebuild civilization across the planet, just one step at a time.
So All Silence, man, that sounds menacing. Tell us a little bit about that. Was that the idea that because of the apocalypse, everything went silent? Is that where you got the concept for it? Or is there something else that has a deeper meaning to it?
So I don't explicitly state it, but I allude to what it is. And then in later books in the series, you're going to find out what it is. Or, I mean, some people right now, if they read it, they might be able to figure it out. But I do say that it was this event that happened where the sky was bathed in colors of blue, green, and red, and all electrical systems were fried. So, I mean, if you think of our world right now is kind of having a voice to it. I mean, we're heavily interconnected. We're inundated with information. You can really hear the world. I mean, if you were to take away everything electrical, there would be a silence to it. Like the voice of the world would just cease to be. And so I just think of it as if you think of a civilization as bustling and full of energy and vibrancy, there's a certain noise to it. And then when it goes away, it's just silent. So it's just a sudden, boom, silence, all silence. So that's a roundabout way of saying that's where I got the name from.
Yeah, that's really cool. And there are weapons today that can do that in to some degree. You got these electromagnetic pulse weapons that are current and some that are being researched. Did you take inspiration for some of that stuff as from where we are today? And I can see a dystopian angle here too. Did you feel like that's the kind of book that you wanted to deliver? Something that was dystopian, something that was that you could see. Like I tease people all the time about, previous, like if you go back and watch a 1960s or early 70s Star Trek, for example, you see all sorts of technology that was predictive that we're now using every day. Like the communicators with the flip phone, ridiculous. It's there. Were there any technologies that you see today that you have extrapolated to spin up in your novels?
In a sense, there are some machines that I have that were influenced by stuff we have today, if not a while back. But when I set out to make this novel, I just had this idea, and I thought if I can make this work, and if I can have a bunch of elements that all come together and function very well, and if I can be so original and unique that I just come out of nowhere and I really make an impact on sci-fi, that would be great. I mean, that's like part of the reason I did this. I mean, I like creating these worlds and I like making these stories, but I mean, if you've ever seen like, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or Dune, it's like you understand that this just changed the game. This was like, where'd this come from? It's amazing. And so I thought I could also do that too. And there are some technologies, to get back to that point, that I do exist nowadays that I do either explicitly state or I sort of hint at in the world building as I introduce people to it over the course of the first several chapters.
Well, let's talk about your world building for a second, because I'm going to take that as a little bit of a different angle. And what I mean by that is, as an author, I'm a big planner, and I've noticed that. And I believe we even spoke about this on the last interview, that the Sapien Empires is an 8-book series. And if you go to your website, you can see all the books have been named already. Are you one of those big planners? And when you've world built, I mean, the names, I'm assuming you know what happens in every one of those books, and that's why they're named what they're named. Walk us through your world building process for a second, and tell us how much planning you do, or how much of this is really written by the seat of your pants.
Found out very early on I can't write the seat of my pants. I have to have a game plan. As a matter of fact, my second novel was outlined before I started writing it. I kind of like doing that because it's kind of like the trailer I give to myself. Yes, I do know what happens throughout the whole series. It was because this whole idea, when I first thought of it in the moment of naivety, I thought it was going to be one novel, and then it kind of just ballooned into two, then four, then eight, and given the scope of what I'm doing, I think that's very understandable. So the third and fourth novels are, the third one's almost entirely planned out, the fourth one's 50% planned out, and the novels 5 through 8, I do have a broad game plan of where I want to go. So in because I plan everything, I do have to have a clear idea of the cultures and systems and people and countries and I mean just entities in place before I go about it. And so I found it helps to write a pillars document, which is it keeps me very grounded with what I like with post-apocalyptic, the direction I want to go with my story, and the themes I want to explore. So basically my story, storytelling and world building is driven by me trying to solve a problem. And so just as I get close, something happens that makes me go back to square one. But I always take sort of what I learn and I incorporate that into like a culture I'm gonna maybe introduce in later novels, and then that culture then interacts with like the protagonist, and then the protagonist grows as a person. And so That's sometimes ideas just come to me too, but I find if I keep myself grounded with what really hits me with post-apocalyptic, I think I can reciprocate that with people as they read stories.
So 8 books in a series is a very specific number. You know, trilogies of the septologies and quadrilogies that are out there. 8 books seems like it's deliberate. And understanding exactly what you just said about how you're a planner, I'm assuming there's something to that. Is what's the symbolism behind the eight, and or is that because you just feel it's going to take that long to get through the entirety of the story? Because now you've got your readers, they will eventually be immersed in something that's one heck of a journey. Going through 8 books. I mean, was that the plan when you started out, or I know you said you kind of had this one novel in mind, and then there was some naivete that you kind of pushed aside. I did the same thing, man. Like I wrote my novel, and it turned into three, then it turned into four. So I sort of totally get it. But you doubled the size of mine. What's the plan behind the eight?
I see. Okay, when it was four, when I thought I'm just gonna have four, I sent my first draft of my or second draft of my first novel to an editor, and she said, "You need to split it into two." And given everything I wanted to do, I was like, "Okay, I think this is gonna become eight eventually." Just given that I want to hit every part of the planet, or a lot of the key areas that I have in mind, and so, with that being said, I think eight, just because it's it's a power of two, and I guess my mathematically inclined brain was like, oh, just split and then double split and then double split some more until you get to
Gotcha.
so now you got so just realizing that, I think just when I realized, oh, just North and South America are gonna be four novels, it's this whole series is gonna have to be eight, which again, I think it's unmanageable and it's understandable.
The realms have restarted civilization. That's due out this fall, right? Tell us a little bit about that, if especially for those that have already read book one, or would be interested in book one. Tell us a little bit about book two and where that takes us. And then I've got one other question that's related to that, but I want you to answer that one first, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so book two just expands upon book one. So Restarted Civilization expands. It starts going into it past the Rocky Mountains into the plains, and then it starts going into further south into the Sonoran Desert and parts of what used to be northern Mexico. And the main characters come across factions that they disagree with each other, but they all have something to offer. And not only do they disagree with each other, they sort of test what the protagonists know and how well they firmly believe and think that what they're doing is right. I mean, they really go like, "Huh, do we have it right? You're really testing my belief system and making me question whether or not I am doing the right thing." And then in the latter half of the of book two, there's a force. I'll just say there's a force they come across that is really the it's obvious it's going to be like the ultimate test of all of the effort they've put into getting civilization back up and running so far. So won't spoil too much of it, but it's just more of the same great, awesome world building, storytelling that if you guys read the first one, you're gonna love the second one.
Well, for those that haven't read it yet, give them a couple of ideal scenarios where, like, if they liked a certain novel or if they liked a certain series or a movie or even a video game, what would you liken your series to kind of drag them over the line? So, for example, if they read Hunger Games and you thought that that was a good comparison, is that something? Do you have a couple of books or movies out there that you could throw out to potential readers? That might gravitate to you when they know, the kind of book that you're going to write here.
Oh yeah, of course. So if you like Metro 2033 by Dmitry Glukhovsky, You'll like it. If you like Silo by Hugh Howey, you're going to like it because those are both post-apocalyptic sci-fi, just like mine. If you like Fallout, you're going to like my book. If you like Mad Max, you're going to like my book. I kind of like to say that my series is like Mad Max meets Dune. If you like post-apocalyptic, where the world is so far in the future that like they've kind of forgotten our past, or like our past is sort of like steeped in this mythic legend. If you like that type of world building, you're definitely gonna fall head over heels for my story, because it has all of that.
Cool. I like the Mad Max comparison, only because, that is post-apocalyptic. It is a little futuristic, but also because in the top of my head, when I was thinking if I had to compare it to something, I was going to say a much more apocalyptic Blade Runner, right? Where I think you nailed it with Dune meets Mad Max. I think that's a really, really, really good comparison for those that are fans of the series. Let me spin a little bit here because I want to talk about a few things you mentioned at the top of the show, and I made notes. I have to ask some of these questions. So one thing you said is you're a Lego fanatic. When I read your bio in preparation and just kind of reminding myself where we were going tonight, you said you create spaceships in your Lego studio. I have to ask you got to talk a little bit about that, man. I mean, look, everybody has their passions and they've got their hobbies, but you have a Lego studio? Like, what does it mean? What does it look like? What do you got built in there right now? What are you going to build?
Okay, so it's not an actual studio. It's a program on my computer called Lego Studio, and so
Okay.
you can like make stuff in there as if you were making it in real life. So I don't have the money or the space for the physical models. So I've spent It just kind of started with like one or two projects and ideas I had, and I just kind of it snowballed from there. And so I have like this for these variety of spaceships of all shapes and sizes that I've created. And if you guys go to my Instagram, you can see some high res photorealistic renders of them. And yeah, it's just something I love doing when I'm not writing my novels.
So is the ultimate goal here to have the ships and the quote unquote cities that you've built within your novels turn into Lego models down the road? Or are you doing that on your own? or would you like, like fan art to come from someone else building something from the novels in Lego form?
Yeah, if somebody else wanted to build something from the novel in Lego form, that'd be fine. But at the moment, the spaceships really have little to do with my novel. They're just kind of like their
Right.
own separate thing. I mean, in the future, I think if I do have some like space type of stories I plan on telling, and so if I want to take some of these ships and incorporate them, I can. I kind of like to think so. Tolkien created languages, and then he was like, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna have to create this story and this world around them. And so it might just be like, I got all these ships, what am I gonna do? Well, maybe I'll just create a story around it. And so it's definitely possible, but at the moment it was just these ship ideas I had, and I said I would love to just plug away at this in my free time.
Last question I've got for you, and I know we talked about this, we actually waxed a little poetic about this last time. You mentioned it at the top about you being a metalhead, like I am, and I know we're both Man of War fans. Are there other metal bands out there that you have a soft spot for? And I'm assuming that just like I do, you listen to that stuff to get you in the mood for writing. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I listen to heavy metal and I go to the gym, I'm happy. When I'm happy and I'm amped, I'm like in the mood to write. So, are there like, yeah, there are a lot that I have a soft spot for. So, there's Manowar, there's also like Judas Priest, Accept. I've been listening to a bit of Crocus, Airborne. They're an awesome band from Australia. And then there's some more minor bands that I like Crimson Glory. I like this Russian heavy metal band called Aria. Wasp, Whitesnake, Motorhead. Those are good ones too. I mean,
Yeah,
my
some of them are real vintage and some of them are newer, right? I think that kind of like Ghost, for example, I think that there's a couple of those bands that I didn't even know were out there, and you discover them by accident when you're looking for that kind of stuff. So cool. Well, look, before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find you, where they could find your books, and how they could follow you on social media.
So you can find a lot of that on my website, www.nathanogloff.com, and my social media is my Instagram is at Nathan underscore Ogloff. TikTok's at Nathan underscore Ogloff. I also have a Facebook page called The Forge Work of Nathan Ogloff. And then you can get all my books off of Amazon, Barnes and Noble's Nook, Apple Books, Google Books, and you can get it for, well, I got just the one out, but you can get that one for ebook, paperback, hardcover, and audio.
Cool, man. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. We really appreciate you having you back on the realm in a different form this time. And when book two comes out, let us know. We'll have you back on, and we can do a second run for that. Hopefully, get some momentum for you on book two there. And again, to everyone listening tonight, check out alteredrealitymag.com, our sponsor. And to our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear. And until next time, I am JB Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.